Welcome to Pop and Play, the award-winning podcast. That's right, we're winning award after award. Well, just the one so far, but we're going to win all those other ones soon.
Watch out.
Watch out. The award-winning podcast is all about play in its many forms. Silly, serious, powerful. I'm Nathan Holbert.
And I'm Haney Yoon. We are two education researchers that figured it might be fun to hear other people's voices besides our own.
I don't agree with that.
I do. So each week we chat with other scholars, artists, activists, parents, and children about the significance and value of play in their lives.
Yeah, and this season we have been exploring what it means to play roles, whether in games, crafting, theater. We're going to talk theater today, actually.
Yay.
We're going to discuss, you know, what is role playing all about? What compels us to try out new identities?
And today we're talking with some folks that play roles all the time, actors. Our guests, Mara and Chris, are regulars in the community theater scene in San Francisco, and we're excited to talk to them about how they got into theater, what it's like to play on stage, and how their own identity collides with those of characters they play. But first, let's discuss our own careers as actors. Mine is short-lived. Mine is short-lived, so this is going to be a hard-hitting interview with Nathan. I never got as far. The farthest I got in acting is door holder number 3. Shout out to TikTok and little kid who loved doing that. So
I can't get over this. You didn't play like a shepherd in some sort of a church nativity scene, or you didn't the school, like you had to do like parts to read a play in class.
Yeah, I remember in third grade.
Yeah.
We did Garbage Pail Kids, the musical, and I had no part. Okay. I basically just stood up during the song. Shift to the left, shift to the right. That was what I did. And nativity scenes, I don't remember being anything. I was probably a piece of hay.
You're a piece of hay.
So that was my acting career.
It's amazing to me that Garbage Pail Kids have played such a central role in your life.
I know. I love them.
That's great.
It was my like one piece of rebellious behavior.
Yeah. I mean, Poppernauts will recognize this discussion of Garbage Pail Kids.
Yes. But yes.
I didn't really start kind of getting into theater or acting or any of that kind of stuff until I was much older, until I was in high school, actually.
Mm. Do you remember the first high school play you did?
I do. It was A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Ooh, yeah. Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. That was my first play I did in high school. And I did it because I feel like one of my friends was like, oh, it's really fun. Like, it's just everybody just hanging out being stupid like all the time. Mm. I was like, oh, I want to do that.
Hang around, be stupid. Hey, sign me up.
I'm already doing that. I might as well get some credit for it.
Okay. Do you remember who you played? I would know, because I like barely read Shakespeare.
It was Demetrius, I think is his name.
Oh.
So one of the star-crossed lovers.
Nice.
And then I actually did Midsummer Night's Dream again later, like another year or two later in a summer Shakespeare like community theater thing.
Okay.
And played Puck, which was like the lead role, which made me feel like really
wow.
I was good.
Okay.
You know, and I had to dress up in this absolutely absurd costume, and Puck is a fairy, and so I had to be very like dancey and prancy.
Oh,
and
that sounds amazing.
It was just so embarrassing.
That sounds amazing, but you got the lead.
Yeah, but it was fun. And then I did and then when I was in college, I actually majored, I was a double major. I was a major in theater and chemistry education.
Wow. That is something.
Yeah. That's
so you loved it enough for theater to become a major.
Yeah. I really thought that I might want to do it.
Like you might want to be a play actor, or that you wanted to be a movie star, or what? Or be on Friends.
You know, at that age, I didn't care.
Okay.
Stick me in front of people and that would be fun. I can't sing though. So I couldn't do any of the musicals.
So you're not a triple threat.
I'm not even a single threat. We're going to discover.
So you did want to be an actor.
I thought that'd be fun. Yeah.
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 That's kind of cool. And why did you do the chemistry part then? Because you were
I'm very practical.
Okay.
I'm extremely practical person. I was like, cool, it would be fun to be an actor, but like a bazillion people think that would be fun. I should also have some other skills and things that I would enjoy and that I would like to do. And so I was a high school chemistry teacher and I ended up doing that. And then that led to what I do now.
But did you high school chemistry teach and theater act on the side?
I did. I did.
What did you do? Did any of your students come and watch you?
No, I didn't. I don't even know if I ever told them I was in a play.
You hit it?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
My God. Well,
yeah.
Before we talk to our guests, what do you think are the qualities that make a good actor? Like, why am I always a piece of hay or door holder number three? Like, what is the thing that I cannot generate in myself?
I don't know. I mean, I do think there is something about, as we've said a few times, like committing to it and letting yourself be sort of taken into the energy, to the emotion of a scene, and then sort of seeing where that goes, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's very easy to do. And I think mm-hmm. there's been times where I've been able to do that, and those times I think I probably did fine. But I think good actors are able to sort of do that on a whim. Like they can just, I can say like, oh, you know, try to do this thing, which we're going to do with our guests, right? And try to play this character.
We're going to test them out today.
And like, they're just kind of able to embody it quickly.
Yeah. But, you know, today we had a little discussion about your very short-lived acting career.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get to talk to two people who actually have had a pretty long-lived acting career, who are deep in it and who have played a lot of different roles.
I'm excited to talk to them.
I am too. Welcome to another episode of Pop and Play. I'm very excited today because I get to have my two good friends, Mara and Chris Sotelo, on the pod today.
Ooh.
Very, very exciting. Mara and Chris have day jobs that don't have to do with acting, but they do a lot of musical theater and acting, and they role play and do lots of cool things around play on the stage, like literally playing.
Yeah.
So I thought I would introduce them by talking about the four things that they've been in together.
These are two separate people.
Yes.
You keep referring to Mara and Chris as if this is one individual.
Yes, that's true. So we have Mara. Mara, you want to say hello?
Hi, everyone. So happy to be here.
Thanks for being here. And then we have Chris.
Yo. I don't even know why. I don't know why
it,
I said it.
You nailed it.
I don't know why I said it. It was either yo or what up. Like, I'm not sure.
This is like in middle school, whenever they would do, they'd do roll, and you're like, you couldn't just say here. You'd be like, what's up?
I'm kind of surprised he didn't do what he normally does. Which is
what do I do? What up, fam?
What up, fam?
We out here.
What up? What up, fam?
What up, fam? We out here. Thank you for reminding me of that. I was going to do it, and then I'm like, no, be professional. And then my brain said, don't be professional. And then that's what came out. So I would have said, what up, fam, is exactly what I would have said first. I apologize.
Oh, so they know each other well. Mara just said, Chris, I'm surprised you didn't do the usual entry. And the reason why they know each other well is because they're also a married couple that also ends.
Is that what we're supposed to do? I'm trying to stick to the middle school vibes.
Okay, so far they've been in multiple productions together, Into the Woods, Last 5 Years, Allegiance, and currently A Christmas Carol.
So we like to get our conversation started with a bit of a game. And we try to choose a game or design a game that kind of fits with a particular topic or theme. And so what we have today is we have a game where we're going to give you a character and a line. And we're going to roll a dice to figure out which character or line to give you. And then we'll figure out what kind of genre or style that we want you to give that line in. Haney's going to give us an example, an introduction. Okay, so Haney, your character is Kendall Jenner explaining to her older sister, Courtney, why she is so athletic. Okay? And you see your line on your document there?
Uh-huh.
Ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, wait, and I'm supposed to do it in the style of Kendall Jenner.
Yeah.
Because that's like the only style I know how to do, because that's like 2 degrees away from how I really talk. Okay. So, I'm literally built as an athlete. Every blood test I've ever done has said that I'm like over the normal limit of athleticness.
Wow. Crushed it.
Athleticness.
I know. I'm
crushed
sorry.
It.
I was going to do it more like I'm literally billed as an athlete, but that's like Courtney. Mm. Okay, she's like the lazy talker, so I can't do that. Kendall's a little bit more.
You got
more.
The nuances down. For real.
Because that's how I normally talk, Chris. That's like 2 degrees from how I really talk.
Okay, okay.
But anyway.
Okay, so who wants to go first?
Chris will go
Mara's
first.
Mara's going to go first. No! This is going to be horrible.
Did you want to do the Home Alone scene?
Yes, I think we should. We should let them choose which one they want to do it in. Oh,
okay, so we have a Home Alone scene.
Great.
This is the one that's from the movie within the movie. And here's some options for you, which you can choose from. But if you'd like to do your own style, you can choose off the list. So we had the British period drama, 80s action movie, Western, or a Kristen Wiig character.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Okay, can I go? I'm gonna go.
Yes.
Can I do? I'm gonna do this, but can I do like British Cockney?
Yes.
We're gonna try
man,
my.
You stole
gonna,
mine.
That's why I said. That's why. British that's guy. Why I took it first. That's why I took it first. Oh, that's not for okay. You got. Yeah.
You do a Cockney, and then I'll do then like a do proper like Downton yeah. Abbey.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Okay. That's okay. Great. This is cold, so who knows? Ready? All right. Oi! I'll tell you what I'm gonna give you, snakes. I'm gonna give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property. Before I pump your guts full of lead. 1, 2, 10. Or keep the change, you filthy animal.
Oh my God, that was so good.
That was amazing. Oh, Chris's Cockney's so good.
Wow. It. Wow, that was excellent. Holy cow, I'm like crying now.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
My turn?
Now,
yes.
Now for the Queen's English.
Mm. Now for the Queen's
yes, Queen's English.
English.
Queen's English. The Queen's English.
Yeah. Hello. I tell you what I'm going to give you, snakes. I'm going to give you the count of 10 to get your ugly...
Sorry.
Ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead. A 1, a 2, and 10. Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Oh my
wonderful.
God.
Like Julie God. Andrews kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like Julie Mary Poppins.
So much yeah. scarier Poppins. Than the
Mary Poppins.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for playing that game with us. And I do apologize. We talked about when we were planning this game, I was like, it feels like we're just making them perform for us. And Haney was like, that sounds awesome.
That is nothing new. our relationship with Haney.
What?
That's
me?
True.
I never force anyone to do anything.
Never. Never.
False.
Okay. So maybe we should just get into it, huh?
I think we're into it already.
Because I actually don't even know if I know this about either of you guys. I kind of know it about Chris because I know Chris got into the musical theater scene a little later in the game. But maybe we'll start with Mara. Do you want to share with us how you got into theater in the first place?
Yeah, sure. I think I started loving theater in grade school, actually. I had... these wonderful teachers, and our theater department was really good in Arlington Heights. That's where I grew up, Illinois.
Oh my God, Arlington Heights is where I went to high school.
Woo-woo.
Shout out to Arlington Heights. Anyway, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, and then I went to a really great middle school as well, and that's really where it took off. Mm-hmm. I auditioned for, it was like our middle school had only 7th and 8th graders, and in 7th grade, I auditioned for the musical, and it was one of those, like, it's not even a known musical. They're, like, the ones that are written just for, like, middle school.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was called Hee Haw Hayride. I believe
sounds like a banger.
Yeah. And I auditioned thinking, you know, maybe I'll get into the ensemble, and then I actually ended up getting a lead role, and I think, like, that gave me the confidence, and it just kind of took off from there, so... I think around that time, it was really, it made a big difference having these amazing teachers and a great program.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious though, Mara, like getting started with it is one thing. It sounds like you had some really great experiences when you were young. How did you stay up with it? How did you kind of keep doing it after you, you know, moved on in life? Because that is kind of a different level of difficulty, I feel like.
Yeah, I think I took a break for a while during college and then post-college. But then Haney knows this. When we were in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, I think that's when it started again for me. I started doing local community theater productions. And then it was just like one after the other. There was this season in my life where, you know, when I would be done with one production, I would audition for another and get into it. And so I think, it just kind of stayed that way since then. We live in San Francisco now. And when we moved out here, I started auditioning as well. And there was kind of like a quiet period. And then it kind of like started taking off. So,
How about you, Chris? How did you get started?
I think the earliest memory I have was I saw my cousin, who is several years older than me, lives in Northbrook. He must have been going to middle school and I was in grade school. And it was summertime and I saw him in this production of this musical who I've never heard of or seen since. It's called Ghost Chasers.
Ooh.
I still remember like the theme song. This is like, even to this day, this is still like one of the highest quality productions I've seen. Because just remember how it made me feel as a kid. They had like projections of ghosts flying around and stuff. And that blew my mind. The stagecraft. And then seeing my cousin like have like gray hair and he doesn't have gray hair. But it was mind blowing, man. I remember just being enthralled by the magic of theater then. And I came home being like, what was that? What did I just experience as a kid? And then hanging on to that feeling. And then, I don't know, I think I did, you know, like a junior high production. Or no, it was a, junior high production of Jesus Christ Superstar. And it was really pared down. It was so bad. It was just like some of the songs. I was one of the Pharisees. And I had this big, tall, paper black hat that we had to make ourselves. It was awful. but then I remember my first real musical was I auditioned for Little Shop of Horrors. And I was in junior high, but I auditioned for a high school production at this all girls high school. And I got in as an ensemble member and I was understudying Seymour. And I'm like, I have no business like doing this, but okay, this is great. I'm very excited about this. And then I just got bit by the bug.
Do you remember the turning point for you when you were like, oh, I actually think I can act? Right, like, when do you think that happened? Like, was it you got this really rave review or you performed in this specific play and you're like, oh, wait, that was really meaningful for me? Or, you know, what do you think was the thing that turned you a little bit?
I think, so I did a production of Cabaret here in the Bay Area. And Cabaret is such a special musical because it's almost like a play with music. You know, I know it's considered a musical, but the script is just so juicy. And it, you know, you have these like long, like almost like monologue moments, which you don't really have in a lot of musicals. And I, you know, had the privilege of being able to play Sally Bowles.
Ooh.
And to this day, it's like one of those. It's just one of those roles that I would do it again in a heartbeat because it was just so special. It was so good and so fun. But that was the production that I feel like really gave me the confidence. And I had an amazing director who really worked with me and, you know, and told me, you know, hey, you can act. And I think that's all I needed. Just someone who I really respected to tell me, like, you can do this. You're actually quite good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's when it happened. So that was just a couple of years ago here in the Bay Area.
I like that. I like the play aspect of trying out new or, you know, maybe doing, you've been doing this for a long time, but sort of playing with the piece of it that you want to spend time with, right? Playing with like, I want to try this other thing out that I haven't really invested as much energy into or haven't really thought of myself as being. Chris, I wondered if for you, you know, are there ways in which you still see, you know, being part of the musicals or like where's the play for you in this, this part of your life?
I think backtrack to one, like the previous question, and it'll all tie together, is that I think I discovered acting before singing in the sense that I was always kind of, I don't know, had a big imagination as a kid, and not shy in front of a camera, that sort of thing. I am very self-conscious about singing roles, though. Mara mm-hmm. knows that, like, she hears me all the time. I second guess myself. I'm like, I don't sound good. I don't, you know, because it's not, that's not mm-hmm. my wheelhouse. It's not what I was like trained in. I can do it, you know, but I'm more of like an actor, character actor, if you will. But I've kind of grown as the roles have come. Like, for instance, I did Into the Woods twice now. And the first time I was Cinderella's steward, and also the baker's understudy in that role. And then the second time I just did this past summer, I was Rapunzel's prince. Mm. So started living out the prince track life, you know, like trying to embracing the main character energy. And it's scary, man, like, because, but like my saving grace, what Mara says is like, I know that there are singers in the audience that probably like, that guy's not the best singer. But when you see me like act and do these scenes, you're like, boy, is he charming. Like, boy, he can really run circles around that and chew on those words. Yeah. Like I throw myself into those scenes, right?
I also wanted to ask if this isn't your, this is neither of your jobs, like your main professions, right? So like, how does that work for you? Like, how is this part of, like, how do you think about this as part of your life? Is it sort of a hobby? Is it a thing that you sort of do when you have the time? Is it a thing that you're wanting to shift more of your energy towards? Like, how do you think about this as your life?
For me, it's like therapy, you know? And it's, I mean, I tell people it's an outlet, but I'm realizing more and more these days, it's like more than that. Yes, it's an outlet, but it's like, it's so healing for me. When I step foot on, you know, in a theater space, there's just something, honestly, that like happens. I know it sounds cheesy, but my body like feels it. And I think more and more these days, I'm really embracing this idea of it being this therapeutic healing space for me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is because of the play aspect, you know, like I get to be this character for like 3 hours, you know, during rehearsal time. I get to just like create, not be myself, you know, forget all the other real world stuff, leave that at the door and just, you know, be in this space with other artists. And it's just so much fun. Mm-hmm. When I leave, I'm like, oh, that felt good. You know, like it's like I feel a lot more relaxed. And people think it's crazy because, like, you know, I have a 9-to-5 job. I leave that, go to the theater space, come back at like 11 p.m. and people are like, that's so crazy. How do you do that? But I get energy from it. You know, it doesn't drain me the way like other things do. So I feel like I need it in my life. You know, Chris knows this, like when I'm in a production, I am physically tired, but like I just feel so much more like alive, alert, you know. And then when I'm done, you know, I'm like looking for the next thing because I like crave that space.
I mean, I think I was thinking that it happens so much too with little kids in classrooms, right? Like how they get into trouble for playing too much or playing too hard or getting carried away, right? But I feel like the best kind of play, right, is healing, and you get carried away by it, right? And obviously your body's going to go to places where it shouldn't, right? You're going to shout or say things in a volume that probably isn't appropriate for school or whatever it is, but that there's something really like, real play should get you carried away, right? To a different space. So why wouldn't it look like something that you don't necessarily recognize?
We have, you know, stage managers, they're different for every production. And so we've got the stage manager who has her little catchphrase at the end, or at the beginning, the top of every rehearsal. She says, all right, let's play. Aww. And I actually had never had a stage manager say that before. And at first I thought, okay, that's a little hokey. You know, like, we're here, we got to get this job done, you know? But then the more she said it and the more I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. This is supposed to be fun. We're like, we're taking you from A to Z of a character and we're all playing together. To Mara's point, like the energy comes from the people that we're all playing. You know, like if you think about it, it's like a bunch of, in this case, it's a mix of like grown adults and children and everyone running the gamut. And actually, that's kind of what I like about theater, too. I do like that there's a wide range of people to play with, and I think art imitates life because we've picked up some of those folks that we've played with and they've become friends to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we've come to find that our life is richer and made better by people that we can play with.
Mm-hmm.
Not just on the stage, but in life. Mara and I play around with each other, like in our marriage. It's mm-hmm. a thing. Like we're just playing around. Mm-hmm. And then we found that the lasting relationships are the people that we play with, that we mm-hmm. could laugh with, and that we mm-hmm. could, yeah, of course, like get serious and do life with for sure. But like there's this common thread of like, oh, like you know how to mess around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to be able to do that on stage, but the bonus is that we've picked up people on the way to mm-hmm. be part of our little like weird menagerie of friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great pivot to the next thing we're going to ask, maybe about community. And, you know, throughout this whole conversation, I hear you talking about all the different people in your life that come out of the theater, right? And all the different roles that everybody plays and all the different mannerisms and quirky things that they might say that sound cheesy at first, but you're like, oh, wow, this is like real, you know, this is it. And so talk to us about that community, right? And what that community has meant for you. And I think we said that because, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes of what a theater community might look like on television and media. You know, we've all watched Glee, I think.
I'm hoping it's mostly waiting for Guffman, you know?
Yeah. There are definitely extremes. I think, like, if you've ever seen, like, Pen 15.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is an amazing show. That episode where they're putting on the play, or the lead up where they're rehearsing and they put it on.
I love that episode.
I love the scenes in like 21 Jump Street when he's doing like Peter Pan. That cracks me up because there's so many kernels of truth to like how people are and how they play.
Absolutely.
And how oftentimes maybe people take themselves very seriously in this play, this form of play.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a wide collection of people from every walk of life. And you know, when you do the show together, it's like you go through the crucible of failure, of triumph, of trying to get this thing up. It's just so beautiful because, you know, you're almost making something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When do you get to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when do you get to do that? And in mm-hmm. a structured environment where there's an end goal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, most of the people that we do this with, they don't do it for the cash. There's no cash in this. Even for the professionals, there ain't no cash in this. Why do you do this?
Nathan, you know, made that very clear to me when he told
ain't
me
no
that he got $100 for doing a summer Shakespearean theater. And then I was like, $100 a day? And he's like, no,
nope,
the whole summer.
The whole summer, $100. Boom.
That tracks.
That made it professional. $100.
I think it's gotten a little bit better now, Nathan. But
you pay, you pay to be in the show.
It's been 20 years. But,
you pay
yeah.
to be on the show.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know what you were going to say, love, but that's the thing that stuck out to me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what I love is, and Chris mentioned this earlier, like all the different people that we meet, every production that I've been a part of, it's like a whole new season of some show. You know, you have your new cast of characters and in a short amount of time, it's this weird thing. You just get close really quickly. Mm-hmm. Or you like get annoyed with people really quickly. I've experienced both, to be
that's
honest.
Facts.
Like,
that's facts.
Okay. I feel like one last question that I have that I definitely feel like I should say is I remember when you were doing Into the Woods and I saw on your Instagram all these little girls who were not just Asian, but white girls, right? Just gathered around you, so enamored by the fact that you're Cinderella and you're like this, you know, and it made me like, as a fellow Asian person, a person of color, right? It just makes you like really proud to see that there's someone in the center of it with a whole bunch of like 10-year-olds who are like going gaga, like waiting to take a picture of you, like you're Beyonce's Renaissance tour, right?
Yeah.
So I, you know, I want to know, like, how does that, like, what do you think about that? What are some, you know, what are some, I don't know, insights or things that you're thinking about as you're, you know, stepping into some of these roles that I think are very central and that haven't been very central to us before?
That's something that is really important to me because I have nieces and nephews and I always think of them every time I take on a role, because growing up, I didn't have that, you know, and I actually struggled a lot with my identity growing up because all I had
you know, when I would watch TV or like even go to the theater, I didn't have anyone that looked like me mm-hmm. represented in these roles. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of my biggest goals, you know, when I went into theater was I really, we hear it all the time, you know, how representation matters and all of that. And but it really is important, mm-hmm. you know. So I think about my family members that they're so lucky. They're growing up seeing themselves.
Yeah.
And that's important. And it feels great, you know, to be not just, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being in the ensemble, all of that. But like, it's, to me, it's, there's something special when you are like a lead character and these, you know, children get to see you. Mm-hmm. And they can imagine themselves, you know, in those roles growing up. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's special.
Yeah.
It makes me proud to see Mara in that way. It's one of the things that brings me real joy when I see that thing happen. Mm. And it doesn't just happen when Mara is a princess. It happens when Mara is like, in basically like in any role that I've seen her in recent years, people will wait to talk to her at the end. Mm. And it brings me so much like pride and joy. Like we grew up looking on the stage for the Asian, right? Mm-hmm. What was that person? And then they're like back there somewhere,
yeah.
right? So when you're in this principal role, taking that main character energy and making it something attainable for, you know, people who are aspiring mm-hmm. or don't even know if they're aspiring, but something inside of them gets moved. That's incredible, you know? That's truly, truly remarkable. And then not only that, but you're giving that main character energy to people in the cast who are currently ensemble who are younger. Mm-hmm. And they're mm-hmm. like, I'm going to strive for that too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give that main character energy as a person of color. I will say like even like in Into the Woods, it was me as Rapunzel's prince and my fellow actor who's black. He was Cinderella's prince. So mm-hmm. he had two princes of color mm-hmm. taking this like amphitheater stage for an entire like 1 month of an entire summer with it. And so you're having families come in and they're seeing like two princes of color normalized, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that aren't the hired help, you know? So yeah. it's great, you know? And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about like the production that Mara and I are working on right now, which is Larry the Musical. Uh-huh. And it's the original Filipino American musical, which is specifically Filipino, where we get to embody these Filipino roles. Mm-hmm. I say we, but I really mean Mara and the cast. I am the filmmaker for this piece. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like documenting as it goes, but on a professional level, not just a creeper, but it is like super meaningful for our family and our friends to be able to see not just people they know, but themselves represented through us as conduits,
yeah.
you know?
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, I think that's so important, right? The representation is not only about seeing people, right? But it's also seeing the stories that are out there. So I like that you brought in Larry the Musical, right? Because I think it's also about the kinds of stories that we tell and the ones that we don't actually hear about or know about or even learn while we were in school. We can actually learn those things in pop culture, right? And what's out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for hanging with us to talk about your lives and your play and the ways in which you kind of tinker around and play with these identities. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, as they say across the pond, you can keep the change, you filthy animal.
Perfect.
Full circle.
Perfect. Full circle. Bookend.
We do have one more segment, though, so we might have to do it again. No, just kidding. We do have one more segment that we'd like to do on this show that we call What's Poppin'? And this is your opportunity to tell us about things that you're into right now. So, you know, what are you into? What shows are you watching? What books are you reading? What games are you playing? What plays are you encountering, you know, that you'd like to tell others about and get them into it too?
It's really just anything in the pop culture landscape that is like popping at the moment.
Doesn't have to, in this show, it also doesn't have to be like important. It can just be any drivel that you're loving right now.
Exactly.
We'll start with the lighter offering. The lighter offering is that we are recording this during the winter and Christmas season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one thing you need to know about me and Mara is that, we really do love like quality film, quality movies, quality stories, but we also really love Hallmark holiday everything. We love it all. Mm-hmm. We love every single freaking stupid Christmas movie Every
Katie's
one of them.
Cringing.
We love sitting there and predicting what's going to happen. And we just love it. So it's like, it's there. It's in the background. It plays and it... It's
do
like
you
that.
Watch the old Christmas movies that everybody watches, or do you like get into those new Netflix trashy ones? Because I'm into those.
All of them. All of them. Like Love so Hard. Like the all of the Vanessa Hutchins ones where she's like a
no,
twin
the
triplet.
The Lindsay Lohan one.
The Lindsay
yeah,
Lohan
Lohan
one.
The Lohan one last year was so bad.
There was one last year with Nina Dobrev, which I watched.
Yes.
I will say this. The reason we do that, and we there's no excuses for it other than like, listen, man. Joy is hard to come by, so yes. Just get yeah. it. Whatever way you can get that joy, fam. So this brings us joy, and we getting it, you know? So that's the silly offering. Yes. On the more serious offering of things, what did I start recently? What were we just in the theater watching, Lo? It was great.
The Hunger Games.
Okay, let me say this. I'll tee it up. The Hunger Games is great, and Mara's going to tell you why. The new Hunger Games is great, and Mara's going to tell you why.
Oh, the new Hunger Games movie? What? The prequel?
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. We loved it. I mean, the acting was phenomenal. Like, literally every single person.
No false notes.
So good. And the main character that plays Cornelius Snow, that guy, Tom Blythe, do you know? Is that how you say his last name? I'm obsessed. Mm. He's like my new obsession. And then I don't know how you guys feel about Timothée Chalamet. Have you had any conversations about Timothée Chalamet?
Yes. Yes, I always do.
I want to know what your thoughts are.
I mean, right now, why? I don't mind him, okay? I feel like his outfits are kind of good for Willy Wonka.
Okay, this is a good segue.
Mara's a crazy person.
I'm also
so.
Like his statistics. Okay, like I'm into it. I'm into Timothée Chalamet, the wannabe rapper.
Me too. I don't know what it is. Yeah. But yeah, like the new Hunger Games movie is really, really, really good. So highly good. Recommend. And Timothée Chalamet, I'm obsessed with his fashion.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
Everything he wears, I want to wear.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm right.
Yep. Go ahead,
everything
order
he
that.
Wears, I'm like, oh my God, I think that would look good on me.
100%.
Okay. This was so much fun. I feel like we could go on and on.
Us. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us, y'all.
Pop and Play is produced by Haney Yoon, Nathan Holbert, Lalitha Vasudevan, Billy Collins, and Joe Rena Ferry at Teachers College, Columbia University with the Digital Futures Institute. This episode was edited by Billy Collins and Kyle Arlington.
For a transcript and to learn more, visit tc.edu/popandplay. Our music is selections from Leaf Eaters by Poddington Bear, used here under a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Blake Danzig provided our social media and outreach support. Follow at Pop and Play Pod on Instagram and TikTok for more of what's poppin', like the trashies with Ioana Litterat. Thank you to Meyer Clark and Abu Abdelbaghi for support with our website and additional materials. And thanks to you for listening.